kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you are victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, with her normal enthusiasm as always. And we got someone else from across the border, which is like, you know, just a little farther off. Why don't you tell everyone who you are?
Oh, hey, it's Patsy the Angry Nerd. You can call me Patrick Rayho. You can call me lots of things. Just try not to, you know, be too mean, because I'm very sensitive. But I am from the Throwdown Thursday podcast, as well as the Shark Bites podcast on the Dorkening Network. And I am very happy to be recording with Old Man Wade and Young Lady Maria today.
So this was impromptu. I just finished watching Hamilton. And let me just say this. I didn't want to watch it. I'll be completely honest about it. I did not want to watch this movie at all. I didn't care about it. I was like, you know, fuck American history. I don't like hip-hop in my musicals. I don't want to watch it, so I'm not going to. Me being the God of Stubborn that I am, you know, this is just how it is. So we cut it on. And within the first, I want to say, 2 minutes, I paused the movie, ran and grabbed my notepad and started taking notes. It was absolutely glorious. I don't know if there are enough positive adjectives to talk about how great Hamilton was. And I'm one of those people who hates things that are overhyped, and the overhype was worth it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you know, my wife, who unfortunately was not able to join us, Ashes, she kept talking about it and talking about it. I'm like, oh, I heard it's so great. You know, I haven't, you know, heard anything. Like, I don't really know much about it. But I'm like, oh, it's coming to Disney. She's like, yeah, I already know. And like, we're watching it. Like, that's what we're doing. And I'm the same as you. Like, I wasn't sure what to expect, and I knew it was overhyped, and I try not to get on the hype train with a lot of stuff. But, you know, 2 minutes in, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. Mm. And she's like, just wait. You don't even know. And I was like, no, I don't.
Has she seen it before?
No, but she had listened to the soundtrack a bunch of times, and, like, she knew all the background and the history, like, how Lin-Manuel Miranda got it to be made. Like, he had done some, like, White House dinner where it was like him and the music director, like, did the opening song. He's like, yeah, I have this album, and, like, this is what it's about. It's, you know, it's a hip-hop album about, you know, the life of somebody who truly embodies hip-hop, and it's Alexander Hamilton. And everybody starts laughing, and he's like, all right, well, you know, you laugh, but just watch. And he does the opening song, and Barack was the first one on his feet to start applauding him. Like, it was amazing. But it's funny, because I was looking at him, and all I could think of was when he did, like, that series of, like, guest appearances on House, when he was House's roommate at the,
yes,
for lack of a better term, the asylum.
Yes.
And, like, they did the talent show, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna rap. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yep.
And because he had the same haircut and the same mannerisms. It was a lot of fun. Like, I don't admit to knowing a ton about Alexander Hamilton, but I'm a lot more educated now than I was prior to watching it.
I agree. I didn't know much about him. I'm pretty sure Super Woke knows more than the both of us combined. And Young Lady Valkyrie over here probably knows more than the two of us as well. And I remember telling her this same conversation. I said, hey, that play you wanted to watch, Hamilton, is coming to Disney. And her exact same words were like, yeah, I know, I've been waiting for like weeks now. So she knew. So Valkyrie, from someone who actually wanted to watch the play, what did you think about it?
I think it was really great. My favorite thing about Hamilton in general, that I was talking to you about, is that it has such a diverse, like, group of actors, and they made that a point. Like, that was like one of the biggest things of their production. They wanted their cast to be very diverse. So, mm-hmm. Like, it's a huge amount of, like, Latino and African American and Asian, and, like, there's a huge group of, like, diverse people, which I really appreciated a lot. Hamilton is one of those shows that I've wanted to see for a really long time. It's like super expensive and unattainable for most because it's so expensive. Because like, if you're gonna go to Hamilton, you don't want to sit in the nosebleed section. You want to be like immersed in there. And tickets sell out to Hamilton literally in seconds. Like, a lot of the times, like my friends that have gone, they've like gone to New York and gone to the box office as soon as it opens, and they buy seats that were like, that weren't sold like online. But those seats usually run like $800 a pop.
Yeah. And our buddy Justin Cooper went, and he was saying he was happy that I got a chance to see it. And I feel like I saw a status of him talking about seeing it and how amazing it was a while ago. But he was just saying, he said to me, like, I'm glad you're getting an opportunity to see it. I'm actually glad I got an opportunity to see it. So much so that me and Valkyrie were talking about that. Like, we can't wait to, like, you know, we'll spend the money to go see it. Like, you know what I mean? If we know it's coming up, it's like, all right, overtime it is. Because I feel like I need to be...
Present?
Yes. Yeah. Present with all that energy. Not just the audience, but the performers. Like, I felt myself being in tears a few times on, like, with how beautiful this play was. Like, I couldn't... Like, I'm a writer, and, like, there were times where, like, I couldn't come up with the words for how much, like, how ecstatic I was with everything that I was seeing.
Yeah, you could really feel the passion and the emotion, like, that, you know, every performer had, that they were putting into their performance. You know, the Skylar sisters were phenomenal, and I think some of the stuff that you can get on a viewing like this, you wouldn't get from, unless you were like way up front, you wouldn't get from having being in the theater with them, like, you know, seeing the close ups of their face, seeing the power of their voice, you know, demonstrated in the veins and tendons popping out in their necks and their veins of their forehead as they're really belting out the music that they're you know, so passionate about. But at the same time, like you were saying, there's something about being in a live audience. Like, I can get, you know, hyped up to a song, but it's nothing compared to seeing that band play live in an arena full of thousands of people who are also getting hyped up by that song.
Yeah, it's to a lesser extent, it's when people go, well, why are you going to the movie theaters to go see this? I'm like, because I like the energy. I enjoy seeing a movie with other people and getting that same kind of energy. Or like looking at, here's a perfect example. What my favorite character in any genre is Deadpool. Love him. I relate. I can understand everything that he is and why he is how he is. So I saw it in Vegas. We went to a wedding of a person we're not friends with anymore. And Valkyrie was like, hey, we're going to this wedding. I said, that's fine. As long as I get to see Deadpool the day it comes out. Like, that was my thing. And I remember a friend of ours saying he enjoyed watching me watch the movie more than anything else. And that's the kind of, like, energy you get from a play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can feel, like, the person next to you as, like, you know, they may stomp their feet or, like, they're clap or they're, like, gently clapping their hands because they understand what's going on, but they know not to disrupt the performance. Or you see out your peripheral vision someone, like, mouthing the hook to the song. And I found myself, like, just, like, finding myself humming and, like, mouthing the words because it was, like, and it was just the two of us in a room. And it's like, so imagine what hundreds of people in the same place, like, that kind of energy is something, like, I feel like I need to experience.
Yeah, it was one of those things that it's like, man, I said it probably four or five times throughout the performance. It's like, oh, I wish I could have seen this live. Like, again, you know, like you guys, like, who has the money for that? Like, even if we were to just, like, drive into New York, take in the show, and leave, it would still probably cost us, you know, $2,000. You know, if not $2,000 each.
Oh yeah,
was, you know, and which is kind of why, like, you know, I love the fact that there were so many people that got the opportunity to see this, but like everybody who got to see it was like, ultra rich. It was almost like, you know, watching a doomsday movie where like only like the super rich people get onto the lifeboats. Everybody else is wiped out by the tidal wave or the comet or something.
It's the Titanic and Armageddon of plays.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's like, oh, you want to get into the lifeboat? Oh, too bad.
You know what, there was, do you have a favorite moment from it or anything that, like, really stuck out to you? Not necessarily, like, a moment in the play, but something, like, with the set, the songs, or something else that really, like, stuck out to you?
The, you know, for lack of a better term, like, the epilogue with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about, like, all the stuff that she did after the duel with Aaron Burr. Yeah. Which, you know, again, if anybody hasn't seen it, like, that's not a spoiler. Like, you know, that's, I mean, literally over 200 years old.
It's history.
It's like, oh, the boat sinks at the end of Titanic. Oh, come on, man. I haven't seen this before. Like, no, it's that whole thing because, A, I had no clue about his wife. And, like, you know, I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about his friends. I didn't know he had such, like, a huge feud with Madison and Jefferson. Like, I didn't know what led up to the duel. I just knew that he was on the $10 bill, and, like, that was, and that he had something to do with the treasury. And, like, yeah, that's about it. I had no idea he fought. But, like, having his wife kind of carry on his legacy after what he did, you know, after everything that he put her through, I think that was really a testament to her character.
Do you know the one one part sticks out in particular for me, and I don't know how either one of you will react to this. It was Hamilton's wife's sister. The way, like, she sung and spoke about Hamilton, but took a step back because it was like his, because she knew that it would ruin him, it would ruin her sister. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Ruin her sister.
It wasn't about him, it was about her sister.
And like, and like how it was like gonna destroy her if she did that. And she would say like, no, I get it, I understand, and I'm okay with it, but she knew that it wouldn't be okay. Mm. And then there was a song at the end of it when they discussed something as a writer and something you know, it's like something as simple as a comma can make such a difference. And that song about just dearest, comma, I was like, I get that. Like, and it was, yep, it was something that was really dope to me. It was, there's a lot of really little things in this play, but on a bigger note, just their relationship, how it wasn't really highlighted, but when it was brought up, there was a lot of emotion that went into that song. And she had such a powerful fucking voice.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier with, like, you know, seeing, like, all the tendons and everything as she's, like, belting out these, like, you know, really powerful, you know, different notes and, like, really putting the emotion behind it. Like, you see, you know, like a bodybuilder, you know, gets all vascular when he works out a lot. You could see, like, the work that she's put into her voice and cultivating that specific sound and tone and power that she projected. It was just, yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. Like that was a great scene. I liked the fact that really the only two white guys that were in the play were the bad guys. Like, because that's not something you get to see very often. You know, it's, You have King George,
who was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, and the guy who was the general that was terrible. I can't think of his name. That was in the first duel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I like the fact that lots of people played rotating roles throughout the thing. Like everybody who was at the beginning ended up, you know, coming in later, like the guy who played Madison was also Hercules. Lafayette was Jefferson. You know, so there was a lot of that, which I enjoyed.
And I love the dude who played, I'll pull his name up now. It was Daveed Diggs.
Diggs was amazing.
When he did the Lafayette voice, I was like, oh, this is so great. And, like, he was so, like, when he first started, it was really more comedic than anything else. And then the second part, when he played Jefferson, it was still comedic, but it was a little more serious. So he still kept that, like, who he is, like, you know, when he's on TV shows. But he also showed a lot more range that he could be serious when needed to be. And I think that was something I don't know that people knew he could do.
I really liked Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr. Like, he was really, really good. Like, not just, you know, talent-wise, but, like, you rarely got this, like, frenemy-type relationship with Hamilton. Like, they did that. I think that's, you know, the number one thing is, especially if you're doing a play like this, especially where, you know, you have to be face-to-face, like, right up with somebody, chemistry is very important.
Valkyries, anything in particular that you, like, really enjoyed about the show, or something that, like, really stuck out throughout the play?
I agree with you. Like, I like Angelica, like, her sister. I like how they kind of did that whole back piece, like, of family and whatnot. I like that they explained the fact that he was an orphan, that, like, he had a hard life and, like, a struggle, but, like, became, like, a well-respected, like, man. Like, there were so many points that I really enjoyed about the play in general that I can't say that I enjoyed one facet over the other, I guess.
I know there was one part we both laughed at when he was like, immigrants, we get the job done.
Yeah.
And high fives.
Yeah. And I was like, good. Like, throw that out there, because people forget that, like, what this country is, like, built off of.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, when you say it that way, I like the whole idea revolving around the play itself is about, like, protesting and fighting for what you believe in. And it's funny because I think some people kind of, like, miss that, which I don't understand how. Yeah. But, like, but it's talking about how our country was founded on, like...
Would the correct term be civil distress or civil...
Civil unrest.
Thank you. And, like, people, again, like, that's, like, the idea of peaceful protest is written into the Constitution for a reason. And I love that they really hit on a lot of stuff that goes on, like, now. Like, I wonder if, 2015, I don't remember if, I'm pretty sure Black Lives Matter was around 2015, but I could be wrong.
It was.
But the idea of, like, protests, they threw that in there, like, hey, this is what we do. Like, you know what I mean? And the idea of immigrants making this country what it is, it's 1,000% true. Like, you know what I mean? To this day. And so when you hear people go, they took our jobs, it's like, eh, no. Like, they're helping making this country what it, you know, what it was and what it should be. So that,
well, you know, to touch on that, they took our jobs thing. If it's me, say I'm doing something and my employer's like, yeah, you know what? I found this guy who's an undocumented immigrant and I'm going to pay him a tenth of what I pay you. So, sorry, you're out of a job. Why would I get mad at this guy who's just trying to, you know, who's here trying to become a citizen, trying to, you know, put food on his family's table, but he's only being paid a tenth of what I'm being paid? Why wouldn't I be mad at the corporate scumbag who just fired me because he doesn't want to pay for anything?
And that's the funny thing about that is, and that's exactly where the anger should be pointed at. But instead of people being angry at, like, you know, the big corporate greed and everything else like that, they're mad at the person who came in and did it. Don't get me wrong. I would be upset, but I'm not going to be mad at someone else. It's like, hey, you can do my job. You're getting paid less. And it's like, I'm not going to be ranting and raving and hit that guy. It's like, all right, well, you know, best of luck to you. I hope it works out. But on the inside, I'd be pissed off at my boss and giving someone else, like, dog, like, really? Fuck you. But you know what I mean? But back to your comment about Leslie Odom Jr. He was powerful. Like, the show is called Hamilton. Hamilton is a star, but I think he had a bigger presence than what's the gentleman's name? I don't want to make Lin-Manuel Miranda. I don't know what it was about Odom Jr., but he kind of like stepped in. And there were times where he wasn't even singing and he was just part of the background, and you kind of just knew he was there. Like, you know what I mean? And then when he spoke, you're like, do you remember those old Looney Tunes cartoons when Frank Sinatra would start singing? They were like, oh, Frankie. Like, yeah. Like, it was like, oh, Aaron Burr. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was just really good at what he did. And it was the best way I can describe it, and I posted this on Facebook, it was beautiful perfection.
Yeah.
I can't find a flaw in that. And trust me, I was trying to look at this, and I was objective because I didn't want to watch this. Okay. I was like, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to write, and I don't really give a shit. And I'm watching this, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to write anything except anything that's going on with this show. So I had to go grab my notebook, and I just had to get a pen. I was like, I need to actually write this. I can't type this. I need to actually physically write all this stuff going down so I can remember it. And there were so many great quotes about. There were so many great quotes in this. There were so many beautiful moments. The set, Valkyrie brought up, like, the set, like, how gorgeous the set was.
I was saying not gorgeous, like, it's just really, it was cool.
The costumes.
The set was built very, like, cool.
Yeah, and, like,
the costumes were, like, great.
And the first time I saw the stage move, I was like, oh, shit, that's cool. And we were talking about this as it was going on, it was like, everything that, and this is, goes beyond Hamilton, but just, when you're in a Broadway play or just a play in general, like, the things you have to do, and I remember when I was performing in, like, high school and middle school, the one thing they said was, if as long as you're where you need to be, you're fine. If you're on key, you're good, because we're all working as one link. And as I'm watching all this go on, and I'm watching this, like, masterpiece of dancers, singers, actors, rappers, like, again, the people do it, even something that people may not notice is the stage lighting, like, how important something like that is when they have to focus down on one person and then switch the color, not even just the light, but the color of the light, the positions of the light. This whole production was just awe-inspiring. Like, if you are someone who wants to do anything in the arts of film, TV, or plays, this is something I feel like you should watch. Like, this will give you so many goosebumps and inspire you to just want to do more. Like, there was one thing, where was it?
Yeah, it's like a masterclass. Like, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. I'm trying to find, there was a specific quote I wrote down. It was about him writing.
Like, why do you write like your life depends on it?
Yes, I had it written. Yes, and the first thing I thought about when I heard that was, why do you, like, when someone asks you, well, why do you do this? Because it's my passion. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing that popped in my head, was it's like, why are you writing like your life depends on it? Like, well, because it kind of does. I mean, it may not be life or death, but my life does depend on what I'm doing right now. So I'm writing it with the emotion and vigor that a person would want to. Like, you know what it's like when you're like, cause it's like, well, why do you keep doing what you do? Like, because my life depends on it.
Yeah, like, this is, I need to get this out. Like, I have thoughts and feelings that I need to express, and sometimes the only way you can do that is by writing. Now, when I was watching this, one of the things that I noticed is that it's called Hamilton, but really the emphasis wasn't so much, it's like, okay, here he is, this is what he did. But it was so much more about, these are the people around him who made him who he is. It'd be like if Rocky wasn't about boxing, but it was more about his relationship with Mickey training him, and, you know, Adrian loving him, and you know, everything else around him, Apollo pushing him to be better, and like the boxing was secondary.
You know, it's that's funny. Kind of,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because you bring up a really good point about that. The first thing that popped in my head was Captain America. His movies have always been about, like, he is the star, but in those movies, like, First Avenger wasn't about him. He was a star, but it was more about how he became Captain America and the people around him, Peggy Carter, Bucky Barnes. I can't remember the character Tommy Lee Jones played, but it was more about them than anything else. Then you get Winter Soldier, Black Widow, Sam Wilson, Nick Fury. So it's like, yes, he is the star of this, but you have all these characters around him that are making him better. So with Hamilton, you're right. And I love that they brought up Lafayette at the end of it when he was like, you're just going to leave the French out there when they helped you? Like, what about Lafayette? And it was like, well, he's got you there. And it was, they made him seem more villainous, even though, depending on how you think about it, you may be able to understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, look how great Hamilton is. Oh my God, he's the best. Look at him. Everything he does is amazing. This was a flawed human being who had a lot of, you know, talent and a lot of skill and ability and intelligence and drive and ambition, but he is just as flawed as everyone else.
Exactly. And I can't speak enough of it. So Valkyrie, was there a character within there that someone you were like, oh, like someone you thought was like maybe like a standout through all this?
Like I said, I appreciate how they kept on bringing women's rights back into it, and I appreciated his wife, like as Patsy had said, like how they talked about everything she did after in her husband's name, like, you know, to keep fighting for what she thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated that aspect of it. Like, they bring it up right in the beginning with, like, the three sisters. They're, like, singing, and they're talking about, like, voting and, like, maybe one day we'll be able to vote if we can get, you know, this going. Like, it was all like, okay, so if we can make it okay for this to happen, maybe then we can vote one day. Like, and I really liked that. I appreciated the fact that, like, they brought in, like, the fact that women wanted a voice, too. I know that sounds like, I don't know. Like,
no, but I get it.
It was really, I mean, it took a long time for women to be able to, like, still have a voice. But I just liked that they kind of, like, moved that all into, on top of everything else that was being fought for or against.
There's a specific line that stuck out, you know, you made me think of it, that Ash has posted. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And when I meet Thomas Jefferson, I'm going to compel him to include women in the sequel.
Yes, that's what I was talking about, which was, like, great, right? Like, that, like, line right there, like, I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like,
yeah, that's, like, that was a great line.
Again, I just like how the play was so diverse and it touched on so many things and, like, so many, like, I just really, I enjoy that piece of it. And I enjoy the fact that the, you know, the producers of the show, like, made it a point, again, like, for it to be diverse, to be inclusive, to be, like, this great, like, coming together of really great actors. Like, I really enjoyed it. Because in theater, like, it's hard, like, being a person of, like, color or, like, of any. So, like, they hired all, like, Black, Latino, like, Asian. Like, the cast was very, very diverse. And I really like that. Because in theater, you don't necessarily always see that. Like,
yeah.
You don't see, like, the Phantom of the Opera being played by a Black man. Or, like, you don't see, like, a lot of plays are written with these specific types of characters that people expect now. And if you changed it, it'd be like the end of the world. I just like the fact that they did that, like, that they brought it all in.
We can discuss, we can go take it a step further. Remember, me and you, Valkyrie, we've talked about people being upset that there were almost no white people in Luke Cage, and they're like, well, do you know where Luke Cage is being set?
Yeah.
And then, like, with Jessica Jones, it was like, well, why are there so many, like, why are there more strong superhero women than anybody else? I'm like, do you know what Jessica Jones is about?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just thought it was like, I mean, it just screams, like, equality, right? Like, everybody was on the stage. It did not matter what color they were. It did not change the play. It did not change your understanding. It did not change what was happening. It was just, to me, I thought that was really, like, something. Like, especially when roles are not saved for people like that. Like, for people of color. For, you know, Asian people. For Spanish people. It's not common.
Slade Ham actually posted something a little while ago that I wanted to share. Hamilton was remarkable, and the fact that people on both sides of the spectrum find ways to pick it apart and get mad at it makes me love it even more. Art can just be art sometimes, and wow, that was art.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I also appreciate the fact that, like, some people who don't want to learn about history will inevitably learn about history watching this and, like, listening to the music. Which is kind of really cool, too, because, like, it gives you another way to learn as well. Like, it kind of reminds me of Chris and how he teaches his classes. So we have a friend who teaches at an inner city school, and he finds really cool fucking ways to get his kids to, like, be involved in learning history. And a lot of the times it'll be through music, like through raps, through songs, through whatever, because he's like, it's easier to, like, put it to music, and it gets them more into it, and then they get really, like, into wanting to understand and learn what it's all about. Like, so same thing kind of with Hamilton. I feel like even someone who's not, like, a history buff can sit and watch it and find a lot of understanding that maybe they didn't have before.
Yeah. Before we go, the one thing I want to say, and again, this isn't much of a spoiler, but I did love Hamilton's final act. Like, the idea of him, like, before the guns were drawn and what may have gone through his head the whole time, and then him, like, just accepting what was going to happen. But even then, Aaron Burr going, I'm not going to make an orphan of my daughter. That hit me really fucking hard, because it was like, like, you know what I mean? You know what's going to happen, but you still have to, like, you know what's going to happen. And even they tell you in the beginning of the play, I'm the guy who shot him. You know what I mean? So it's not a spoiler.
Well, I mean, again, it happened, like, 200 years ago. Like, if you don't know that, it's your fault.
Yeah. So we actually got past the 30-minute mark, and I apologize. So I have two questions for you, Patsy. First one. Yes. If you had to recommend one movie and one comic book to somebody, what would it be?
Oh man. Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of independent films, and I would actually recommend one director to people. And I steered you towards one of his films earlier today. He is the writer and director, S. Craig Zahler. He wrote and directed Bone Tomahawk, and then followed that up. That's like a Western, and his next two movies are kind of like, you know, true crime, like, dramatizations. Brawl in Cell Block 99 and Dragged Across Concrete.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend, because not only does it really illustrate how good of an actor Vince Vaughn can be, which I was kind of surprised at, but they're amazing stories. It's well written, well directed, and, like, none of these things have gone to theater. Like, you can pick them up at Walmart. Like, they go direct to video.
Yeah.
And this guy, I would love to see him tackle, like, a major property. He's phenomenal. And one comic book, that's tough. I would have to say,
that's a difficult one for it. You know what's funny? I thought that would be the easier of the two.
No, like, that's tougher. Like, movies are easier because, you know, I try to find some under the radar stuff, and I'm looking at, like, 50 things that most of your listeners haven't even heard of, just strewn around my room. I'm gonna say if you haven't read it yet, The Thanos Quest, where he collects all of the Infinity Gems and how he does it, to give you an idea of how deep of a character he really is. Like, forget about his motivations, like the fact that he's able to defeat the fastest being in the universe, the strongest being, in the smartest. Like, he ends up getting all the stones through, you know, his use of his powers combined with his phenomenal intellect. Which I think is just a really good background for people who, you know, kind of didn't like the way the character got portrayed maybe in Endgame.
Yeah.
Check out the Thanos Quest. I think it's more than one comic, but you know, you can get the collection.
No, I dig it though. I'll give one comic book. I'm gonna go with Invincible, which I talk about. I talk about all the time. Me and Super Woke will be doing an episode on that for CCBN really soon. Culture Comic Book News Podcast for Black Rabbit, BlaqueRabbit.com, which you have actually written for as well when you did the weekly Game of Thrones
recap and predictions.
Yep. If I was going to talk about a movie, the cheap way would be to go V for Vendetta, because I think that's one of the greatest comic book movies of all time. But I am going to go with a sleeper called The Losers.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
You've never seen The Losers? Chris Evans, Idris Elba, the dude who played the dude with the bat in Walking Dead.
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes, it's an old movie. Zoe Saldana's in it. It's fun. It's not a good movie, but it's super fun. Valkyrie, if you had to suggest one movie to people to watch on any genre, what would it be? Just a movie that you love in general.
I don't know.
Because you put me
on. Just like threw me on the spot.
Because you've put me on to a bunch of movies. You put me on to Casino. You put me on to you made me rewatch Pulp Fiction, Across the Universe, that movie with Robin Williams with the dude who went to Juilliard. You put me onto a lot of movies, so I figured if anyone, you would have a great opinion on that.
I know, I'm really not good though.
What's it? Oh, you know what? We'll talk about that one. The one with Robin Williams.
Well, I don't know what movie.
The one I cried at the end of. You said every guy who watches this cries at the end of it. Where like one kid ended up with Robin Williams who had a bunch of kids who were musicians, and the mother and the father ended up meeting at like his concert.
Oh,
and they held him.
It was like, I don't remember what the name of that movie is.
Not Dead Poets Society.
No, it was like August Rush or something. It was like some stupid movie. I wouldn't call that my favorite movie.
No, not your favorite movie. This is a movie you'd like.
I wouldn't even endorse that movie. Though.
Really?
I mean, you do. I mean, because you cried, but.
And actually, it's called August Rush. You actually had it right. It is called August Rush.
That would not be my movie of choice.
White Oleander?
Maybe. I fucking love that.
White Oleander was a great movie. Michelle Pfeiffer's awesome in everything she did.
Yeah, no, I loved White Oleander. I loved, V for Vendetta is probably, like, one of my really favorite all-time movies.
Yeah.
Like,
Very, very topical right now, too. If you rewatch it and see kind of the rise to power, it's very...
Oh, it's so similar, yeah.
Yeah, because we just did that a few weeks ago.
Oh, you rewatched it?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, we did a show on it, too.
Oh, so the very first time that I saw that movie, I went to the movie theaters with my best friend, and the only way to describe it, because I didn't know it was a graphic novel, I had no idea. I was just going with my friend because he wanted to go see it, and he happened to be into comic books and graphic novels and stuff like that. I literally felt like a child walking into Disney, like the whole movie. Like, it just made me, like, I don't, like, I just...
You know what's
funny? The whole thing was so good.
Because his name's Patrick, too.
Yeah, my best friend's name is Pat. And he was, like, saying that, too. He was like, it's funny, like, seeing your reaction to it was almost as cool as, like, seeing the movie for him. Because, like, I literally had no background, no, like, no knowledge of, like, what it was supposed to be or not be. So, like that movie definitely is, like, probably in my top five.
Yeah. It's funny because I almost said *V Vendetta*, but I went with something else. But it's funny that you bring it up
because
it's one of our favorite movies. All right, so before we go, Patsy, tell everyone where they can find you. Tell them about both podcasts. Tell them about both Facebook pages, please.
Well, right before I do that, I do have to ask you one question.
What's up?
Have you watched the Watchmen TV show yet?
No.
Oh God, yes. Odin's Eye. Yes, it's funny. I did one review for CCBN. And I did another one for the Old Man Wade show. And on both shows, all the guys couldn't stop talking about Dr. Manhattan's not-so-little Watchmen.
Yeah.
It's
his second hand.
Yeah. But I loved... I could do another whole, like, hour on how great show was, man.
The symbolism in that show, the fact that, like...
Strong women were the norm. You pointed that out to me.
Well, and the whole cast is, like, black. You don't really see a white person. You're watching it, and you're like... There's, like, a few here and there, and I'm like, do you realize the whole cast is, like, of color? And Mark was like, oh, shit.
I didn't notice that.
And I was like, there's so much symbolism. That show, for me, because I catch a lot of things that a lot of people don't.
She does.
Like, the fact that she was in blackface, but her father did whiteface, like her grandfather did whiteface, like, the fact, like, there's so much in that show that I love. Like, I would watch that 10 times over.
Yeah, it's so goddamn good.
It was so
good. And, again, if we're talking about perfect shows, when people would bring up comic book programs, if you don't bring up Watchmen within the first 2 or 3... Like, you need to. Like, I feel like, yeah, sure, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is great. I personally think Daredevil is the greatest comic book TV show ever done, but that's only because it went 3 straight seasons. But in terms of pure perfection and flawlessness, I don't know if anything beats Watchmen.
As far as shows?
Yeah.
No
licking!
You could have paused it.
Yeah. I mean, it sticks.
Anything that beats that? The Wire was...
No, we're talking about comic book, like...
Oh, comic book show. No, nothing beats it. Comic book show-wise?
The only thing I think that comes close is Daredevil.
Possibly, but I think Watchmen beats that.
Yeah.
Like...
Punisher was really good, too.
Punisher was really good.
I loved Punisher. That was really good. I mean, you know how I feel about the Jessica Jones series, so...
Yeah, we can talk about that another day. So, Patsy, tell everyone where they can find you, man.
All right. The easiest place to find all of our stuff is ThrowdownThursdayPodcast.com. You can get the latest episodes of both Throwdown Thursday Podcast, which has exceeded 200 episodes. And you've been on several times.
And hopefully several more.
That's actually how we, like, met, so to speak, because you were on the Black Panther and the Pacific Rim episodes.
Yes. And, yes, that was how we met.
And you came back a couple of times. We do, on Throwdown Thursday, we do character analysis the way some people do movie analysis. You know, we break down your favorite characters. I mean, there's a lot we've covered and there's a lot we haven't covered. But we also do historical figures, and Hamilton's going to be one of them. But what we like to do is kind of take, like, you know, here's where you've probably seen this person, and here's the real story behind them, the best we can figure out, depending on how far back the history goes. Like, we just did Elizabeth Bathory a couple of weeks ago, because she's an intriguing character, and she's been portrayed in the media a lot differently than what she actually was. And what she actually was is way worse. But shark bites, that could be on anything. There's really no set theme for shark bites. It's interviews. It's, you know, we did like 8 weeks of Star Wars shows. We're in the midst of doing some Mel Brooks stuff. Sometimes I just have people on to talk, like you and Powerful Brandon were on, and we just basically shot the shit for an hour and a half,
which was super fun. If I had to direct anybody to one episode, it had to be the RuPaul Drag Race one.
That one was so fun.
I loved that. I remember specifically because you guys had been talking about it for like weeks, and when it finally popped up, and so your podcast is among the ones I listen to when I'm playing video games. It's great to like just kind of sit and listen and laugh while I'm playing 2K. But that one, I was like, yeah, I had to put my headphones on. I need to really be enthralled in this because the way you guys broke it down, especially Ashes, your wonderful wife, Thea, I can't remember. What is her name again?
Ashes Von Nightmare.
She has another nickname of Aquatic and Wine.
Oh, Jesus. She actually has she has more nicknames than Apollo in Rocky IV. Let's see. She is the Baroness of Bordeaux, the Countess of Cabernet, the Mistress of Merlot, the Real Housewife of Transylvania, the Michael Phelps of Wine, the Queen of the Monsters, and for all of you Warriors fans out there, she is an honorary Lizzie. one of the Lizzies took her under her wing during a convention and said, "You are now an honorary Lizzie." Yes, Ashes Von Nightmare, my partner, my co-host on the show, and my co-host in life.
Yeah. So I want to make sure we shout her out because you guys, in general, like as a tandem, as individuals, you guys are awesome. You support me, you support the people you love, and you support the people who are close to you. So I want to make sure I get that out there. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank you for doing this impromptu 46 minute that was only supposed to be 30.
Whatever.
All right. Valkyrie, you got anything to say?
No.
You got any party words for us, Patsy?
Wash your hands, wear your mask, and be safe.
I have one up. Be kind, please rewind.
Damn it, Wade!